And so he got that last Sunday. So this is an add-on to what Nikki said. Believe it or not. Hang on, Nikki. This is an add-on. So because he heard something last Sunday, that's the only reason I'm here. So this is another shift. It also could be a test. We could be tested to shift. Who knows? You know, I hear two words out there in the body of Christ. And for me personally, and I've seen it on Logilist and Prophetic, one of the words is reset. Now, in Computerese, talk to Jerry, a reset is things have gotten off track, a little out of whack, not functioning the best. You do a reset, correct? You understand what I'm saying? Reset, or today, a shift. So this is what I'm going to do, Nikki. I'm going to share Nikki's vision statement because this is where. And I have personally been bugging her to get it down on a piece of paper so we can see it because I love the word. And you know where it says write the vision on the wall so the people, that would be us, can see it so we know where we're going. Does that make sense to you? Well, it does to me. But I'm going to just verbally share some things and just pray. I'm so grateful. She said put some parameters out there for us as Eastgate Church, and I want to share those with you. And I promise not to bug you too much more, but at some point, you know, you can get it up there, and then we'll pray into it. You got intercessors in this body, right? So, you know, and you can always add to it. True. All right, do you understand? Because, I mean, seriously, honestly, do we not change? I mean, there's an unfolding revelation and more and more and more. So if we can start with something and be on the same page, do you realize how important that is? I want you to hear that. I also want you to remember these two words, be brave and of good courage. Be brave and good courage. Remember that, okay? And I am going to go, and will you get that up? I'm going to do low-tech, high-tech. Anyway, this is the first thing Nikki said. We are a prophetic church. Now, I've been to some prophetic churches. I kind of know what that looks like, and I could teach on it, but that's not the point. Because we are becoming a prophetic church, it means that we're going to look like whatever God wants us to look like. And we are not, God doesn't make exact copies. You know, my fingerprint is different than Jer's. And so it's going to look a little different. So I don't know exactly what all that's going to look like, but I'm going to do some bottom line. A prophetic church is just bottom line this. It is hearing and seeing what God is saying now and then releasing it in some form or fashion. Now that could be a lot of things. Scripturally, it's the practicing of revelatory ministry. And that can be reset. It can be on a personal level. It can be corporately. Personally, prophetic word. You all need to have a personal prophetic word, which is going to define your life. But also corporately, I'm talking us, so that it can be released externally, guest outside these walls, in this city, in this state. Does that make any sense? Okay, good. That was all the introduction. Go on for a minute. Let's pray. And first of all, just because we're celebrating 100-year anniversary, I do want to honor the veterans. And Joe, I know you are, and isn't Roger too? Is there anybody else, Joe? Anybody else a veteran? Jim? Jim? Were you a veteran? Were you a veteran, Jim? Okay. Would you stand up? You guys, this is just, I love to honor, and we can't ever forget the only reason we're sort of, I tried that and it didn't work. I'll need it shortly, but anyway, it's kind of sad. But first of all, I'm going to speak for us. We want to thank you for your service because you sacrifice, you leave your home, your families, and you go into a lot of times a foreign place, and it's hard. It is so hard. And I am of that generation where we did not treat Vietnam vets very well. And we just want to bless you today. Do you agree to that? We want to bless you, and we want to thank you. And I'm the kid of a World War II vet, and I know what PTSD is because my dad was diagnosed back then. They called it battle fatigue. And so that I'm alive on planet Earth, I was born after the war, is testament to the fact God heals. battle fatigue and World War II PTSD today, right? So, Father, let's pray for them, and we'll pray for what God is doing. And, Lord, we include Roger. Father, we thank you for the veterans. And who? John. Where was John? Yeah. Okay, John, anybody else I'm forgetting that we know of? Who? Oh, Penny. My gosh, I didn't know Penny was that. Wow, more than you know. Father, yeah, amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I just thank you that I didn't even know Penny was a veteran, but we ask you to bless our veterans in this house today in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we remember. We remember. I remember my dad's war stories and how beaten up and in hospital when he came home. I remember the stories he told and mom told. And we bless our veterans in our midst, and we ask you to bless them, to anoint them, to complete their race in Jesus' name. And then, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And, Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking you to flow through and touch every single person here and speak through revelation, through the word, however you speak. I'm asking for good ground for your word to go in today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, huh? It's pitiful, isn't it? Oh, well, time for a new whiteboard. I'll use it the best I can. Well, look at this. Good. Honestly, I can write on it and you'll get the point. I only got 5 words, but I just work better that way. I don't know. One of the things that Nikki said, and when she said in church board meeting, and I think this is apparent, but we're a Judah church. We are praise and worship. And what that simply means is we want to wait on Holy Spirit. And however he moves, however he moves, it is Nikki's heart and the elder's heart, I know this, that we want to listen to Holy Spirit and just simply do and say and whatever. And the only way you get there is through praise and worship. So praise and worship in a prophetic church can be flags, it can be stuff, art, it can be dance, it can be a lot of things. So don't be surprised if that's where we go and where it goes. And so we just, also, that's personally, but also positionally, there is something prophetic. I believe we're in this building because of a prophetic word. Is that true, Nikki? And I believe we're positioned at the east gate of the city because if we're a Judah church, you know what? God told Joshua, send Judah first. Send the praise and worshipers first. And even positionally, as we're on the east side of this, east side of this city, we're positioned, even in the city. When the 12 tribes of Israel traveled in the wilderness, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun were on the east side. Now, do you think that's a coincidence? I will tell you there's no word in the Bible for coincidence. Providence. So even in that, God has positioned us for a time and a purpose and a reason. The third thing she said is one of the things we want to look at is figuring out our identity. Now that, again, personal, corporate, in the city. Who did God create you to be? Who are you? You know, who are you? And so figuring that. And this is what, it's taken me decades to come into a revelation knowledge. And that's what I believe as the Lord works with each one of us. Some of us, there's an unfolding revelation of who I am. There's some things that are pretty solid and pretty set, but honest to goodness, there's an unfolding revelation. A little more, a little more, a little more, and a little more. And so God personally, even this trip to Israel was such an incredible answer to prayer personally for Jerry and I. And I will tell you this, as you find out who you are, God will affect you in order so that you can have an effect. You understand that? Part of that is your identity. He will affect you, unlock your identity so that you can have an effect. You did it. Congratulations. Look at this. Hallelujah. Now, here's another thing that, again, I'm just setting some parameters that this church is a safe place for the prodigals. Amen to that? Come on. Yeah, come on. I like dialogue. Come on. Come on. You know we've had prodigals. Come on. I could tell you I'm not going there, but a safe place for prodigals, it's going to be a safe place for the lost, those who are just absolutely clueless, come in broken, beaten up. We are building a place that is a safe place really for anyone who needs to change, anyone who is seeking Jesus, anybody who's seeking the Holy Spirit. That is all praying in tongues. We want all of Holy Spirit we can possibly get. Now, what does that safe place mean? Guess what a safe place means? It means I can mess up and fail, and it's okay. Guess what I've learned? I have failed, by the way, in ministry. I know when I'm anointed, and I know when I'm not, and I hate it when I'm not. But you know what I've learned? The sun still rises tomorrow morning. He gives you a second chance and a third and a fourth, and God, I think it's something like 70 times 7. You know what I'm saying? One of the things she said was, too, is that about Nehemiah. If you study Nehemiah, you might go deep into that of rebuilding. And Nehemiah built with burnt stones. And that can be good and bad. Sometimes we need to go to the fire to burn away the junk. Sometimes it's purified. Sometimes we look, anything that goes through the fire looks different, right? Paper, ash, gold gets refined, silver. So if we're going through the fire, God says, okay, I can build with that now. Does that make any sense? I like leaders who walk with a limp. You understand what I mean by say that? Not, I haven't got it all together. Because, you know why? All together, none of us do. Anyway, I thought about the threes. I thought about strength and courage, and this is where we're going. Even as Nikki last Sunday remembered Steve and honored him, I thought, we are into the threes. God likes three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One of his names is, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, if this is the third leader, I never heard Pastor Andrek preach, teach, or whatever. I don't even know who he was, what his gifting. Anybody here? How many of you heard Pastor Ted Andrek? Four, about five, maybe. See, all I know was Steve. But Pastor Andrek and now Linnea, I want you to think, Linnea has a three generation. If Pearl was in here, I don't know all the rich, but that was what a founding, whatever they did was foundational. Then was Steve, and we are into the threes. This is the third leader. Is that correct? Am I got my facts right here, guys? That's what I know. If I'm not, tell me, okay? Well, guess what happens when you get threes with Nikki and Henny? There's something on God's threes. You know, 3 days comes resurrection, right? Three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? 3 years. Why don't you just meditate, agitate on the threes. Think about it. You know what happen after the threes? Resurrection life, and guess about this? Multiplication. I want you to think about that. Building, growing, new life. We're into the threes, I believe now. We're crossing over. And so, okay, praise God, look it. I don't know what you guys did, but this is great. I think this is a prophetic sign. We got a clean sweep here. All right, now this is, believers. Are you with me so far? Ha ha ha! Yeah, you'll get there. You'll get there. Okay. Okay. We'll see how bad I mess this up. Can you see it now? Well, you think, okay, it says believers, disciples, servants or bondservants, friend, sons. Now, these are, has to do with identity. Okay? Believers, every single one of us were believers or you wouldn't be in this building. Somewhere along the line, you believed in Jesus Christ. Now, I have a problem. There's a shift, reset, when you become a disciple. Because not all believers are disciples. Do you understand that? I've got them in my own family, close in my own family. A disciple is one who follows Jesus, who studies Jesus, who, you know, it's Jesus said, my disciples know my voice, and if you love me, you'll obey me. I mean, all those, there is, a little bit of a cost to be a disciple, right? Another place in Scripture is servant, pages. Pages in the concordance, or a bondservant. And what that is look at Luke 12, 35 through 48. And I don't know if you can pull that up, Chris, you don't have to, but this Luke 12, 35 through 48, let's see if I can turn there real quick, because I'm going to sit on one scripture. You know, in Hebrew and in Greek, Hebrew especially is word pictures. And wait a minute, I can't talk and turn pages at the same time here. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he talks about servants. 37 says this, blessed are those servants who the master finds awake and alert and watching when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at table and will come and serve them. That's a promise from Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus serving us? That I know is talking about heaven and eternity, but I want to think this, what makes this particular Christian different from this? I will tell you differently. It's a death to yourself. Anybody see Downton Abbey? Anybody see Carson? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Downton Abbey, there was Carson. Nobody, okay. One person. Love British stuff. Downton Abbey was this 4 years long series where there was a lord. It was like the, what would you call it? Help me, Andrew. The sort of the monarchy. Part of the monarchy in Great Britain? The what? Yeah. Big house, lands, rich, and whatever. Okay. The head butler, Carson, in Downton Abbey, he was a bondservant. And what that meant is, you know, he didn't have anything he owned, at least at the beginning. He had nothing, and he was always close by the Lord, and everything, he was always at his almost right hand. He would be in the room where he ate, and his eyes was always on the Lord of the Manor. What did he wanted? He tried to anticipate where he's going, what he was need, and bottom line, he served. And bondservants in Hebrew, they literally, that's where pierced ears came. You would so love the master that you, volition, would say, pierce my ear, put a gold in. I'm connecting myself eternally as long as I'm on earth to this Lord. I don't own anything. I'm done. Okay, does that give you an idea of what a bondservant is? What about a friend? From the word, God said of Abraham, Abraham is a friend of God, right? Well, guess what? The Father talked to Jesus, Holy Spirit, and there could have been an angel or two in that council. And they came to earth and they said, should I tell my friend Abraham what I'm going to do? And you know the story. Walked on earth and they dialogued. Whoa. You mean a friend can dialogue? God, 50, 40, 30. They dialogued. And I want you to think about that. Friend of God is someone who God tells his secrets to. Okay? Well, you know what I think? I know it. And this one, I want you to pull this one up for sure. I want you to pull up Amos 3, verses 7 and 8, Chris. Because I believe it's the prophets. With that mantle of prophets, God tells his secrets to, and it says so in the Word, if you can pull that up. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can help but prophesy? So I believe. Now here's the deal. Even though there is the office of a prophet, there is the gift of prophecy, you know, we can work on that. Guess what? In the last days, God's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on his sons and daughters. Why? Because we will prophesy. So if you're born again, Spirit-filled, you can prophesy. It's in the Word, right? It's the truth. So I want to talk now about the sons, because I'm not going to touch some things that are on your heart. But I want to just look at this about sons. If, first of all, you know, we were blessed to go with four prophetic ministries to Israel. It was James Nesbitt, Prepare the Way, John and Jolene with Lamplighters, Pastor Ed from Flint, Michigan, prophetic to the Word's End, whom I forget, Jamie Fitt out of Davis Tabernacle, Philadelphia. I call them the Fabulous Fitt Brothers. Jamie and Jonathan play guitar like nobody's business. Anyway, four very prophetic. And I will tell you, of 110 people, everybody was at some point. We were not all the same. And this is my point. They said from the get-go this. Everybody has a puzzle piece to play. And you would not be here if you weren't called by God. And you have a part to play, and we need your part. We had flaggers. We had shofar blowers, we had intercessors, we had leaders, I mean, all over. Some participated, some, this guy had the camera going, cataloged, all of them very, very important. And sometimes we were in and out and did different things. But there is a place, every single one of us, wherever you're at, it's okay. Let me say this again, safe place. Safe place. But I do believe this is also a growing thing. And because I'm going to sit on this for a minute. Thank you, Dr. Patty, on this one. I want you to, Romans, and I need another translation. I don't like Amplified. Somebody pull this up on another translation. Henny, if you can, Romans 8, 20 through 23. And remember the word sons. We're looking for that. You read it. Yeah, just read Romans 8, 20 through 23. Okay. One of the translations where it says all of... hear me, all of creation is groaning until the manifestation of the sons of God. Can you find that in what he said that's up there in some of the other translations? Amplified doesn't quite say this, but say it. I think it's 23. Okay, this is where I want to go. This is a Greek word, weothesia. Now, in English, the problems with some of the translations, we'll get sons, but it's not all the original text in every scripture. Does that make any sense? Because sometimes it's translated children. Sometimes it's translated a little differently, but this particular scripture and also another one, when Jesus was going to the River Jordan to be water baptized, there was a voice from heaven, the Father, that said, "You are my beloved Son. It's weothesia. And I am well pleased." You know what I'm saying? Okay. What you're declaring, and I'm not there yet, it's the mature Son. It's the fulfillment of where we want to be like Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do? He had authority over the winds, the waves, demons, healed the sick, raised the... I want you to think about this. All of creation. That means the weather. Would you dare to believe you can speak into the weather and change the atmosphere? Guess what? Jesus did. Do you dare to out there believe you can speak what Father speaks? And what did Jesus say? "I only do what I see my Father doing." So it's that communication of mature sons, weothesia. It's an interesting word. Interesting. There's a whole lot more in it. And if you want more, ask Linda, because she just graduated second year with Dr. Patty. And I'm behind. Anyway, weothesia, mature sons manage God's kingdom on earth. I'm talking about people. I'm also talking about practical things. Now, let me dream big. Somebody said I could dream big. I'm going to dream big. It's one of the things that's wrong in Freeport is there's poverty. If that is true, if this is true, do you think maybe we can dream big? Somebody gave me a key with dream on it. To change poverty? Think about it. That's a Selah moment. There's stuff to be doing, but again, I want you to just think about that. Can we break infirmity, poverty? Can we change us, change church, change the city? I dare to believe we can. Now, I want to look at Wednesday nights. Nikki, you weren't here, but Linnea was here, and it was excellent what Linnea did. One of the things is, you might ask me, okay, great, Kathy. Okay, I can see where you prove your point. How do we move? How do we mature? How do we get to be like Jesus? One of them is studying the Word of God. You want to know? I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But the other thing is we need the person of the Holy Spirit to help us have revelation. And guess what else? We need to have a Bible study together because we get revelation from one another. Is that not what Wednesday night is all about? Think about it. Things get unpacked. We bounce off of one another, and it's a good bouncing off. First of all, let me just run through this really, really quick. Get a translation that speaks to you. And I've run through and ruined a few Bibles in my 44-plus years of being born again. I mean, I'm telling you, if it quits speaking to you, you might need another translation where it's fresh bread, fresh manna. Try some new ones. I know the Passion Bible is one that's out that a lot of people are really enjoying, but there's others out there. The most important Bible you've got is the one that you get. So try that. Now I need somebody. Can you help me? I need you to bring up a chair. I want to show something. I want to unhook one of them chairs. When you study the Bible, when you study the Word, this is how you do it, and I hope this is helpful. Okay, now hold that chair up on just one leg. Can you just hold it up? Yeah, like that. So when you study the Word, one of the things, and others have been here, one of the most important things about studying the Word is context. Context of the Bible is the W's, who, what, when, where, and why. When you look at a scripture, who said it, where were they, you know, that kind of a thing. For example, now, Henny, you think you could sit on this? Oh, I don't think I could either, because it would be hard with just context. But some of us could probably do it. Linda probably do it. I couldn't. I don't know that I could. Let me give you an example of context. Oh, I almost want to play with you and try it, but I'm not going to. Context is, you've heard the scripture in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Let me give you the context of that. Three or four verses ahead says, I've learned to be happy and at rest with little, and I've learned to be at rest with much. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which means you have somehow incorporated the first two, so you can sit on. Sometimes people just say, I can do all things through Christ, I can do all things through Christ, and they're running around like a chicken with a head cut off. They're in trouble. Does that make any sense? Context of that scripture, and then it's real. Then you can own it. Okay, now this is only happened in the last few years. Two legs, right? Okay? Now, I'm about to think I can do that in two legs. You got your cell phones? This has not been possible. You would have had to go to 4 years of Bible school and had a year of Hebrew and Greek to understand the words. The second thing is the actual scripture and the actual language it was written in. I just gave you an example of two scriptures, a specific word, weothesia. Now, because of these things, Bill, what's the app for Hebrew? There's an app you can get, and because you... By the way, how many of you have cell phones? Raise hands. Does everybody? You have one? You guys each have one? You do not. Let me see that. Chris, Joe, everybody got your cell phone? Yep. You guys got each? Everybody's got it. See how easy this is? Well, you can be a Bible scholar by looking up one word and access the original language the Bible was written in. It is so helpful. Now, if you don't have a cell phone, you can go on Christian television, and all of a sudden, a lot of these ministries are getting into Hebrew and studying our roots. Susie Roots. Logos is up. I think there's several. I was searching on the web. There's bunches out there. So, you know, you got two. How to understand the word is, you know, you got two. Context. Okay, put down three. Three legs. Okay. Okay, wait a minute. It is hard, isn't it? Yeah, well, so all analogies lose a little bit. Okay, three, this is pretty doggone good. You cannot learn without the Holy Spirit. True? I mean, look how that's pretty doggone solid, Holy Spirit. You be a little tipsy, but three could do it. Without the Holy Spirit, that's why when I read the word and it all of a sudden pops into my head, it's like, oh my gosh, I never saw that before, right? It's happened to everybody. Holy Spirit, you need him. But here's the fourth one, and this we've had too. And now, have a seat. Real solid, right? No wobbling, back and forth, two minds, da-da-da-da-da-da. And here's another thing about where we've had of all the 2,000 almost years between Jesus and now, there's been the restoration of one of the gifts of teacher. There are specific people who have an anointing to teach the word, and they teach with revelation. Let me name you one, Joyce Meyer. I know people love Joyce Meyer. She is a great Bible teacher. There's people that never go to church, but they listen to Joyce Meyer. Jensen Franklin's another one, Christian television. T.D. Jakes, great teacher. They are out there. So that, too, is an important gift. There is the gift of teacher. That's what Corinthians says. The five manifestations, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We need teachers. Thank you, honey. Unless you want to sit there. Okay. So we need teachers to help us to grow. And I wish Linnea was here because I would have given her the mic. Because the other thing about the fifth is teaching is there's the activation. And, Hannah, can you help me with it? She had some scripture that how she uses the word. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about it well. There is such wisdom in Linnea. I feel like she's an almost untapped gift, although I know she's more comfortable up here. But doggone, let her open her mouth. And she shared, you remember what scripture she said? I can't, But what she did is it was like she had, I'll say this, revelation of a scripture. She thought about it. She said it. She prayed into it. Is that about as best? Taking it for now. Well, that's the other thing about growing is you got to grab a hold of the word and activate it in you, which is what she was doing. And I wish she was here. I would have her say it because it was beautifully done. Of activating it with faith. Activating this revelation you've got with faith in here, out there. I'm trying to go with the flow here. If that makes any sense at all. So, and anyway, Jer, if you want to get ready, this is where we go high tech. So, having said that, I'm going to try not to cry, but you're going to see me messed up. I have to set the stage here a little bit. This is from our time in Israel. And my testimony is this. God is totally faithful. And what he speaks, he will perform. The win of it is I can get in the way and mess it up. And that's the story of this trip to Israel. I was a young woman in 1980. And had a total miracle of God using this man who was only 1 year. He got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1979. And in 1980, he sends me. We're farmers. I got three little kids. You know, we haven't got very much money. We're in debt. $250,000 is in this, but it's a chunk of change. A lot of money. And yet he heard the Holy Spirit. And I was a young leader. I was the Stockton and Glow president. And Women's of Glow Fellowship had their first international conference. It was a tour in Jerusalem. I saw the four-figure price. Never said a word to this man. I don't know how he found the brochure. All I know is he found it, picked it up, sent me, but then God said this. Send Kathy, but send Lynn, our pastor's wife, too. Now we're talking cha-ching, cha-ching. Anyway, I'm going to leave the story. Absolute miracle. I don't know how men talk to God, but this is how Jerry does. He says, well, God, I can pay for Kathy, but you're going to have to pay for Lynn. Well, he did. We sold corn that year, and you guys that know these metal bushels, we had an extra semi go up that he sold in June, and that paid for Lynn's, totally 100%. That's 650 bushels of corn. Absolute miracle. So I get over there knowing all this, and I'm undone. And I'm feeling bad and guilty because how could I be here and enjoying this when he's not there? Just hurt my heart until a husband prophesied over the whole bus and said, he said it nicer, but I'll get to it. Get over it. Get in. Enjoy. God knows. Just enjoy. You know what I'm saying? So one of the traditional things is you go to the Jordan River and get water baptized. It's just one of the things you do. They have a place for it. It's so much nicer than it was in 1980. So I heard, I wasn't even sitting with Lynn on the bus at that time. I heard this. I said, and I brought towels and clothes. You had to bring your own towels back then, and we were going to do it. So did Lynn, but I heard the Holy Spirit say this. Don't get water baptized because you're going to come back with your husband and you will get water baptized. Now, I want you to just say how I've heard that, knowing my heart was, because he wasn't there. So this is that. It's the fulfillment of a faithful God. So when we go down to the river with these four prophetic ministries, right? And by the way, we weren't touring. We were there on assignment. We knew it. We were there to worship and pray and declare and decree. So we didn't do a lot of the quote-unquote traditional things when you visit, you will see. But this one we did. And so I had already been bawling, and what these two ministries were going on. The first, I'm going to set this up a little bit. If you go there, you'll see it. Two of them were trying to go through 110 people, and they prayed for us, water baptized, but they also prophesied over everybody. Now, what's different about me and Jer, you know the history? We went together. There were other married couples, single, but we went together. I thought about this later, Jerry. I think we're the only couple. And so you're going to see James Nesbitt. You guys know who James Nesbitt is. You're going to recognize him. And we were on the blue bus, and the other young guy, 35-year-old, is Jamie Fitt, guitar player, worshiper from Philadelphia. And you'll see his brother behind catch Jerry because they didn't think they could. They thought he was kind of big. I don't know what was wrong with that, but you'll see Jonathan do that. And so I want to set this up. It's sort of hard to hear because Pastor and Jonathan are really close by and they're prophesying. The only reason I'm showing this is I want you to catch this. They didn't just prophesy over us. They prophesied over this region. So everything you're going to hear, especially from Jamie, who has never been here, he doesn't know nothing about nothing. Okay? All right, Chair.
What he just recounted is your faithfulness and how connected they are to what you're kind of talking
about. Yes.
So Lord, you brought here in time to anoint them for next time. But
yes.
Now it's time for Illinois, the Apostolic Synod. So we praise you now, Father, as they go under one time, they're coming up and tumbling in line for Kronos and Kairos.
Yes.
Thank you for things accelerating in a good way. In Jesus.
And I heard the same thing. I heard you guys are prophetic time. Lord, that's all your lives aligned you to this. So this fact that it's been 38 years, now it's a generation that's coming out. And as we cross over today, as we go down to Jericho, and we go down towards those places where Joshua and the whole generation crossed over into the new. Father, we thank you that what's been in the hearts of generations, what people have been waiting for and desiring, Father, I thank you now that as we baptize this precious couple, Lord, you are speaking from the heavens, Lord, that there is a crossing over, that there is a new time, that there is a new order being established right now. And so, Father, we thank you, even from the heart of our nation, Lord, as they go back to the Midwest, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are resetting the clock right now. And so, Father, we agree right now that this is a prophetic moment, Lord, not just for them, but, Lord, even their delay has been for the good of nations and the good of states and regions, Father. So we thank you for that, and we do bless their bloodline today. Father, we thank you for them, and we thank you for what all the concerns them, Father, we declare right now. You're establishing their generations in Jesus' name.
You have a Jeremiah 1:9 and 10. We've got a little extra help. We got his brother helping you. So Lord, we thank you for Kathy and the big tree. The oak tree of the Lord, actually.
Yeah.
So we baptize you both in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah!
She's led him to some wild places.
Yeah. Hope you've got that. Stop right there, Jer, if you can stop it. Now, knowing my history, what I did, I've got a T-shirt, and I knew we were supposed to. It says, it's a prophetic word. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. You can get them from Gloria Zion. Now, let me say that again. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And if you caught what Jamie said, prophetic timepieces, knowing times, seasons. And so, you know, honestly, I'm an intercessor. So I just want you to take that for yourself. It wasn't just for us. But anyway, okay, keep it going. You got to see this last part. Yeah, I did want the sound on it. Don't think you can back up. I said, can I jump up and shout to hallelujah now?
Can I jump up and shout now? No. Hallelujah!
Keep it going to the end. A one young Marisol. Again, those people there knew the story. There. Oh, Jerry Townsend. He just cut it off because Marisol, Jerry, you got any words to say? He said, that, right at the end of that. I hope, I just want to teach a little word, and then we're going to be able to move on, because that's what it's all about. Jamie said something that's going to attach to what Nikki brought forth. It's a Joshua season. It's a Joshua and Caleb. And what he said about crossing over. The times that we are at, I believe this is not just for Eastgate. It is for the body of Christ. It is time to cross over. And I just want to teach from the Word a little bit. And I'm hoping Holy Spirit can... There. Yeah, go ahead, Jer, while I find Joshua. Now, we went to the Jordan River at another place, literally to the place where the 2 million plus children of Israel crossed the Jordan, literally. We went to the place. It's not far from Jericho. It is in a barren land. We passed the town of Adam, literally. And right where Adam is now, again, when you go to Israel now, it's a miracle. I don't know how, except they have a incredible prophetic way of watering gravel. The ground is so dry, but they are growing right by Adam. It's full of banana trees and date trees, and it is so true, prophetically true. They have made the desert blossom. Yeah, that's the Jordan River. Over on the other side is Jordan, present-day Jordan. Now, one of the many things about our trip to Israel is Jordan is not their enemy. Now, you would not get that from the media unless you were over there. And as Colleen Nesbitt said, we chose the other place to go water baptized. Eddie James got water baptized right there. He was there. If you know who Eddie James is, I don't know if you know him. He just came out with his praise and worship team. Remember, we were there during Feast of Tabernacles, which is a key time, and that's another story. Okay, Jer, this is the place where they crossed. The Jordan River is not the Mississippi, and it has, over the years, it's not a huge wide, but it's still a river. And in some places it's wider, in some places it's smaller. It's just that. But listen to this. This is from Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant is dead. So now arise, take his place, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, the Israelites. And this is the thing. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given to you as I promised Moses. And then verse 4, he goes on and talks, guidelines the land, Mediterranean. Verse 5 says this, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Remember this word that I said, strong courage. Listen to verse 6, and I believe this is where we are right now. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Every single purpose, promise that God has spoken in the word and prophetically, it's ours to cross over and take. but it's going to require some qualities. You've got to be a little bold. Can I say a little out there? Have courage, and if you don't have it, guess what? You can take it. I love this book called Divine Exchange. There's sometimes I feel like a whipped puppy. But when I worship, I can take by faith. I can take his courage. I can take the courage of Joshua. Joshua had a call, and he had these promises. He was under Moses, but he had promises to finish the call. He had the promises to cross over, but he had to get this people lined up and together to go over and possess that new land. So he said this, and this is what it also says. Verse 7, be strong, courageous, so that you can do all the word says Moses commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand, turn to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, I think, is so key. Joshua 1:7 is Psalm 27:14 from last Sunday. It's restated in a different way. Be strong, courage, whatever. Then verse 8 says this, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you will deal wisely and have good success. Only place in the modern English translations of the original text do you find the word success, sitting right here. So you can take that. And again, I wish Linnea was here, because she did such a great job Wednesday night about how you kick in the word, activate the word. So let that word sit. You know, it goes on. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Jesus said that, didn't he? I'm going to be with you forever. Jesus never leaves us. And it's the enemy that thinks we've done something. We've sinned, we've fallen short, he leaves us. No, he's a faithful Savior. He stays with you no matter what. No matter what. Safe place, no matter what. Same yesterday, today, and forever. We just need each other to pull us back into that crossing over mentality, strength, courage. I'm telling you, we need each other. I could tell you story after story of 110 people, how we needed specific people doing specific things, specific times. I just want to say this, Nikki. 3 times, it's been years and years and years since I've seen women go into true travail. And maybe I've shared this a little bit. I saw it there. Back in a glow, we used to have, I'm talking Holy Spirit-led travail. But God used 3 different women. One of them was Jolene Hamill. And as we were going through Rome, worst warfare we've ever been in my life, yours too, I'm telling you, everybody battled a bunch of stuff. But she went into travail in the middle of St. Peter's Basilica, if you figure that. Crowds of people. I'm talking travail as in gut-wrenching, snot-dripping, sobbing, because she heard the voices of children who had been abused. And it kicked her into travailing prayer. She was the first of 3. The last one was a black gal, leader Del Zora is her name. We were on the place where Jezebel got cast down. Went into this weeping, same thing. And I will tell you, God blessed those 4 men leaders, because they knew what was happening. They just let it go. And it's not pretty. Your body takes a toll. Done it a couple times, and I'm telling you, it took me 3 days to recover, because you just are wrecked. But what happens is your body is physically sobbing and wrecked for something that's on the heart of God. Does that make any sense? Now, I'll tell you what it was. In a bad way, women's voices are coming to the forefront. But God is birthing something new in godly women, so that he has an answer through godly women to voice what's going on. Is that clear? Do you understand what I'm saying, you? And I saw it, experienced it. And I will tell you, you know, there was a bunch of 3 that did it, and the rest of us just, you know, I can cry when I pray, I can cry when I worship. Not the same. That's good. But there's a different level of travailing. And study the word. It's in there. And there are others who are midwives. And I think, you know, my little piece at least one time was a midwife, helping them through the process. And those men, God bless them. They knew what was going on. They let it go. Not pretty. Anybody ever seen it? Let me see you raise a hand. Anybody see anybody going to true travail? Yeah. It's, if it happens, if it happens, and it might, we just have to let it go. It truly is a move of the Holy Spirit. And prophetically, sometimes you'll hear why, what it's for. And in our case, those three times we did. So I just say, God is doing something with women this year. It's a year to birth. It's 5779, and, you know, I could teach on what it looks like, but it's a year to birth some new things as well. On time, in the time, Hebraically. I got to keep moving. Okay. I'm going to skip. I'm going to go on. You know the rest of this. God speaks to Joshua. There's things to know about the Jordan. They went by tribes. He sent chapter 2. I could teach on this. But he sent out two scouts to go where they're going. Linda, I think that's intercessors. They go where they need to go before so they can come back and report, we saw this in the land. That was just as simple as that. There's more in that. I'm going to go to jump to chapter 3. So there came a time when Joshua came in and he said this. Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim. They came to that Jordan. You just saw it. He and all the Israelites, they lodged there before passing over. They got themselves ready before they went over to take the land and the promises. And again, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, the commanding the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being borne by the Levitical priests, set out from where you are, follow it. Follow it. Priests were mature, schooled, whatever, priest. What they carried was the presence of God. I believe God is going to bless his churches, everybody, but there is a call for those who can carry the presence. Now, I dare to decree we are one. We want the Holy Spirit. We want the presence of God in this place. But please let me blow this up a little. It is not just in this place. It's got to be in your house. And there's a way to do that. Chris, you know, put up those praise and worship. That was great. I mean, you can do that. You can do that. You can do it. So the presence. And he said this, then keep a distance. You know why you have to keep a distance? Because you can literally, we will literally see the glory of God descend in these future days. And we have to follow it. So you're going to see a movement of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see the manifested glory. We sing these songs all the time, and I, honest to God, I don't know, there's probably unbelief in me to think that we actually see the presence of God. The glory manifested, and it probably is not going to look like anything. But when you see that movement, watch it, but follow the movement of the Spirit of God. Does that make any sense? Okay. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, separate yourselves for this holy purpose, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I just want to leave you with a couple things, because this is what's going to would stop the movement. How they had to go in to possess the promises, possess the land. Drop down to verse 10 of Joshua 3. Joshua said to the people, come near, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will surely drive out from before you, I'm going to say with you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. That's seven tribes. Now, I could go way into teaching, original text and whatever, but this is, if you trust me, bottom line, this is what they stand for. The Canaanites were immorality. In other words, sexual sins. I'm going to say pornography, anything, fantasy. It could be anything sexual will stop you. You know why it'll stop you? I've been thinking about this. I had a conversation with Henny, and he provoked something in me a couple weeks ago. it's a lot of times what our eyes see. And whether we commit the act or not, an emotion can kick in. Does that make any sense? You may not do the act. Now, me and Jer, we did. I will tell you, but we got born again, repented. You can repent of sexual sins. That's not the point. I'm saying it's this Canaanites were very sexual. They had temple prostitutes. I mean, if you go deep into it, it is like, oh my gosh, you can't believe it. The Hittites, again, I'm moving fast. Fear. They ruled by fear. So we have to face and overcome fear in order to move forward. Hivites, oh my gosh, wickedness, pure, unadulterated, don't even mess with it, wickedness. The Perizzites were literally squatters. They came and squatted on your land. In other words, they were thieves and robbers, and took what was rightfully yours. Squatters, thieves. So you have to think about that. The Gergesites, they were just, there's no other word to say it, strange. Strangers in the land. And I'm not talking about foreigners. That's a whole other word category. I'm talking, again, I could go in a whole lot more. I'll just leave it there. Now, here's another one. The Amorites were babblers, and they were critical. Criticalness. Blah. And that was their warfare. It's what they said, and well, did God really say? But I mean, you know what? I'm just trying to get you familiar with this. Well, who do you think you are? Well, did you see Danny? He didn't. He forgot to say hi to me. Bye. Today. You know what I'm saying? Critical, babblers, Amorites. The Jebusites. And the Jebusites, I want you to think about this. David had to get them out of a key place on planet Earth, and that was Jerusalem. And they were the ones that were trodden down in a literal place in Israel called Jerusalem. They were depression. So David had to he had his Goliath to overcome, but he also had to take the land in a specific place. God has called you to specific geographical places to cross over and to come. And so, good news. Joshua, I'm going to close with this. Joshua 5, in 5, you can read it all. It's all good news. But this is also the promise, and I think this is good for us. The same promises for Joshua we can take is God said, Joshua, you're going to take these promises little by little. Isn't that good news? I mean, come on. That is very good news, little by little, piece by piece, moving together. And he promised that they would come over. Chapter 5, a lot of things, circumcision of flesh, dying away to flesh, cutting away a skin covering so you can see, hear, and move on. But it's also, they have an encounter. Joshua runs smack into a visitation with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. So you can expect a visitation. Why not? That's all good. God's going to give you the land you came, the feet that you wear, where you walk, light in you, released. He affects us so we can have an effect. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I will. Shema. Ke esiona baba hanshanda raba baba hande esiana mama. You want to pray a perfect prayer? Let's just pray in tongues for a little bit here. Hamashia baba hande esiora mononte ke esuka. I just love the words. Sometimes you pray in tongues and then you pray with your understanding. Sometimes I don't know what to pray for. A lot of times. Thank you, Jesus. Father, only you, Holy Spirit, can speak to each one of us from this sharing, from this teaching. And Lord, I'm asking you to help us overcome all the ites in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, we confess we just need help to get there, but we thank you for your promises. We are crossing over. we are and will become more and more a prophetic church. We will be a safe place. We will move forward because we welcome Holy Spirit in our midst. And we thank you, Father. We just give you praise. We thank you for the food. Bless the fellowship, the times together. Father, every family member that's not even in this room, Lord, somehow give them the revelation and bless them because we're going together in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you, Father, for a good Father. Faithful and true are you to your promises. You keep your promises. I got a testimony. So thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.